This is from chapter Luke verses, I don't really know how to say it. It's just Luke 1 dot dot 68 to 79. Blessed be our God, the God of Israel, for God has looked favorably on God's people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of God's servant, David. As God spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered our holy covenant, the oath that God swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before God all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before our God to prepare the ways, to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Thank you, Bridget. So if you have a pen on you and you keep these bulletins because you revisit them, because you want to look at them again, you might want to scratch out the sermon title because it's sort of in there, but not really. The sermon title should be All Good Things Come to Those Who Wait. So if you want to put that in there, feel free. One never knows when you're putting together the worship service exactly where the Spirit is going to move your words in the week as they come together. And indeed, all good things do come to those who wait. And I think about this day, this Sunday that we have right before Thanksgiving, and I think about, as I look out here, some of those things that I'm just so very grateful for. If I can see directly back there and see Renita and Marcus and Chris and Bill and Ty, and I know that, and I've got Jean here and so many others, all these folks who come together to make it possible for us to hear one another, to see all of those wonderful people in Zoom land, and for the Zoom land folks to be present with us. Two and three quarter years ago, it was just Bill and me. It's all we had. It's all we needed to do. Someone to turn the microphone on. And all of that has shifted and changed, and I'm so utterly grateful. And I remember the very first Sunday, the Sunday before we went online for the first time, gathering together seven or eight people in my office and saying, okay, next week we got to go online. How do we do this? We figured it out. We figured it out well, and I'm so grateful for that. That took some time. All good things come to those who wait. That has taken some time to allow itself to unfold into a new reality. When I graduated from seminary 35 years ago, I knew of this church. I would have loved to have been called to be the pastor of the church at age 32 years old, but I wasn't ready. All good things come to those who wait, and I'm so glad that I was able to wait. And I'm so glad that you all waited for me, and here we are. All good things come to those who wait. Chris, just for you, let's throw that first slide up there because you love it so much. I just want to show this because this is the reality, not just of life as a church. This is the reality of the universe, okay? We're not going to keep this graphic up for that long, but here's the Big Bang. Here's 13.7 billion years later, all condensed into one slide. And for us, we're living right on the edge of a millimeter, just a hair's width of this line right here of the 13.7 billion years for that to happen. And here's the amazing thing about this, is that this moment here, we talk about the Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago, it took 300 million years. Just think about how many years that is. It took 300 million years before there was even light after the Big Bang, because it was so hot that the atoms that existed that are now part of what we breathe and part of who we are could not be ionized. And because they could not be ionized, and I'm saying this as if I understand this at all, I don't, but it's just what they tell me. Just say this, Kahu. It took 300 million years for them to be able to cool down enough to become ionized and become ionized so that they could begin to become opaque enough for there to be light. All good things come to wait 300 million years to get light. And in this picture, somewhere around here, if we are looking at a 24-hour clock, reducing this to a 24-hour clock at about 4 p.m., the sun is formed. So two-thirds of the life of the universe have already gone on before the sun is formed. And at about 4:20, the earth is formed. It's still going to be until about 6 o'clock on that 24-hour clock before the first single-celled organisms begin to appear on the earth. So three-fourths of the universe have already happened before the first single-celled organisms happen. It won't be until about 10 o'clock at night before sexual reproduction begins to happen amongst those single-celled organisms and they become multi-celled organisms. It's not till about 10:20 before the things that now breathe for the planet, plants and trees, begin to get formed. All these amazing things, we had to wait billions and billions and billions of years for so that we could be here at this moment. And those trees, go ahead and send the next one just because it's fun. This is a giant redwood tree. Can you imagine a tree so big that three people could just hang from it, a trunk that wide, hundreds of feet tall, thousands of years old? It takes that tree 200 years to reach maturity so that when its seeds form, seeds so small that it takes more than 100,000 of them to make a pound of seeds, it takes more than 200 years for the tree to be mature enough to produce a seed that can become fertilized. And those seeds may take 20 years forming a cone up in these various places before that cone is ready to drop its seeds. And those seeds themselves may take at least 2 years from the time they hit the ground, and they require some fire to burn off some stuff and some other things to take some fungus, all these things before they can germinate, before they can begin the process of growing into that. All good things come to those who wait. And because of this very process, not just of giant redwood trees, but of the trees and the forests that populate our entire globe, there is breathing that happens for an entire planet. And in that breathing, we then are able to breathe as well. So for every breath that you take, the last one, the next one, and every one you take, it took 13.7 billion years to get to that moment so you can take that breath to do all the good that you are going to do with your life. It took an unbroken chain that goes back about 600 million years of sexual reproduction in order for you to be here. Because if that chain is ever broken in the line that comes to you, you don't exist. An unbroken chain of 600 million years. And I look at each of you and know how amazingly good you are. And it says to me, indeed, all good things come to those who wait. Okay, you can take them off. I said to Chris, I sent these to Chris yesterday. We don't need the service of baptism just yet. I said to Chris yesterday, I said, I think I want to use these for the sermon. Then he came in today and I said, I don't think I want to use them for the sermon. And he said, oh, I really liked them. I said, okay, I'll use them for the sermon. Because, you know, all good things come to those who wait. The scripture that was just read for us is a scripture that is a testament to waiting. These are the words that John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, says the moment he gets to speak after being silenced for months. These are the words that he says, and there is a lot of waiting that is waited in those words. There's the waiting of a people of centuries and centuries of prophecy for a Messiah who is to come that is enclosed in those words. There is the waiting that exists of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth because they are not young at all. They are long in tooth when they discover that they're going to have a child. And there is the waiting that any of you who have had children know encompasses that period. of pregnancy and waiting. And there is, of course, if this is the waiting for the child who is going to be the one who shall be the voice crying in the wilderness, then that means that there is also the waiting for the one who that child is crying for, the child that months later will begin to form in the womb of Mary, not long of tooth, but young of age, cousin to Elizabeth. And there's also the waiting for words. The backstory, as many of you know, is that Zechariah is one of the families of priests. These are families of priests that are descended all the way from Aaron, who is the brother of Moses. They are the Levite families, and those families of priests are given the privilege at this time in Jewish history to be the folks that will light the incense that is right outside the Holy of Holies. So we have this huge temple complex. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I said that temple complex is about 40 acres in size. You have this huge temple complex. In the middle of the temple complex is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant sits, behind a screen that only on one day is the high priest allowed to enter into that place. No one else ever during the whole year. And right outside the Holy of Holies is an altar where incense is lit daily. The coals from all of the sacrifices that happened way out there are brought in, and they are brought to that altar, and then the incense is lit. And the responsibility of lighting that incense, because the incense, as the smoke goes up, carries our sins away. Those sins that we have atoned for by the sacrifices made out there on the other altars. This privilege of being the one that lights that incense and being there and carrying the prayers up is passed on to the families, the Levite families. There are more in those Levite families than there are days to be able to do this. And so the privilege is given to you by throwing dice, by lottery. And Zechariah, as an old man, his time has finally come for that privilege. And he walks to that altar. And he begins to do the task that is there to light the incense, to allow the prayers to go up. And he is visited by an angel, the angel Gabriel, who says, I got news for you. The news for you I have is that you and your wife Elizabeth, you remember Abraham and Sarah? Well, you're just like them. You're about to have a kid. You're about to have a kid, and it's going to be the one who will be the voice crying in the wilderness, the one who is going to be the herald for the Messiah who is coming. And Zechariah, you can't fault him. Looks at himself, sees the skin hanging off of himself. How can this be? And for that, the angel's reply is fairly swift. Takes his tongue away. Cannot speak from that point on. He does not speak for months, until it is 8 days after the son has been born, and they are at the naming ceremony, and he is going to say that his name is going to be John, a name that no one really expected, instead of Zechariah the second. And that's the moment where his tongue will be loosed. And we think, oh, how harsh, perhaps. But what that tells us is he had months to think about what he would say when he could say. He had months to gather together all the words of the prophets and all of the promises of the future and find the way to put those words into succinct phrases that would lift up this truth and this reality so that when his tongue could speak, he could say all of that in beauty and in wonder. When we were having our lectionary discussion this last week, Robbie brilliantly said, oh my gosh, Zechariah has been pregnant all these months with these words, and on this day he's giving birth to those words. And listen to what he says. And you, my child, John, who we called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Promised One to prepare the way to give our people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of God, call that is the tender mercy, not the harsh judgment of God, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those who are living in shadows. The imagery is amazing. To shine on those who are living in shadows and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Months he's been waiting, pondering, pausing, preparing that moment to give birth to those words. And all good things indeed do come to those who wait, because those words are read by almost every church in almost every year at almost all times to remind us of the wonder of what is to come. And he says this to his infant son, John. And it'll be another 30 years before we hear much about John. And it's going to take 30 years for John to prepare, to pause, to wait, to allow the goodness to come in before he indeed becomes that voice that is crying in the wilderness, before he becomes the one that will be the one that will begin to baptize people for the forgiveness of their sins, that he will be the one that will begin to point to the way, no longer a way of sacrificial blood sacrifice, but a way of giving yourself in life and love to one another. It will be 30 years for that message to begin to develop in such a way for him to then share it with the world and then be ready for his cousin to come and himself be baptized and for the way to begin for them and for us. All good things indeed come to those who wait. And for the last millennia, people have been following what John the Baptist started in baptizing and gathering folks together to say, this is a way, this is the way that I have chosen to be. And we, as the community of faith, have gathered and celebrated those baptisms and then gathered together with the baptized to be the way for the community.